Appreciate the privilege to be here this evening. As I looked around the congregation, I was glad to see some of those that we've been praying for, that they're out here. I am so grateful that the Lord is merciful to us. And it's a wonderful blessing when you pray and you pray for someone and then you see them and they're doing well. It's a real blessing. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that this evening, because I know we have lots of burdens and we have lots of needs among us, but it is a wonderful blessing to have the Lord to hear and answer prayer. And I thank the Lord for that. I sure desire and interest in your prayers this evening. The Lord would help us to be able to bring out the thoughts that He's laid on our heart. And I'd like to start by reading a very familiar scripture in Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter, in the 11th verse, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, as we have many been celebrating the birth of Christ, and many in our world have, this is a scripture that has been read, no doubt, many times. And I would say that probably most of the children that are here would be able to tell you, without just hearing me say it, what those gifts were. And when you think about it, these gifts that they gave were some of the most valuable gifts that they could give in that time. They were gifts that were fit for a king. And when you look at this, these men, the wise men, traveled a long distance to be able to see this child that was to be born the king of the Jews. And so it says here they fell down and worshiped him. Do you know, that tells me of the reverence and respect that they had for Christ. These men didn't know him. They didn't know him individually. They knew him because of what God had revealed to them, but they didn't know him as the child down the street. And they came, and it says they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, I don't know what the wise men had in mind when they went there as far as what they would see. This was, because God had revealed it to them, was to be the king of the Jews. And so they went, as you know, to the palace and they asked Herod, "Where is this child?" Perhaps they thought they would find him adorned in royal apparel and with servants just hovering all around and everybody making a big to-do because this was the king of the Jews. But what they found instead was a poor family. A people that were a common people, like many of the other people in the land at that time. And what they found in this king was a child not unlike many of the common children of that day that they were in. But you know, despite what they may have thought initially and what they may have envisioned in their minds, because we all, when we hear something, there's a vision that comes, or something that comes to our mind, and we picture it and we think, well, that wasn't at all like what I thought it was. But despite all of that, they did not allow this to keep them from offering to this child the very best that they had. And the reason that they didn't is, one, because God had revealed to them that this was the Christ. This was the King of the Jews. And so they bowed themselves to him and they offered him the very best that they have. Do you know, I would that there would be a greater revelation among people in our world today. I would that God could reveal more to people in our land today about who the Christ is. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll make a difference in what we offer to Him. It will make a difference in what we bring to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we really have a vision that this is the Christ, the very Christ, the one that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so they did this, and when they offered that, they brought to Him the very best that they had because He was deserving of that. Now, I would like this evening to bring it closer to us. Brother Philip said, it starts with us. And so I'd like to ask us to consider this evening what we are offering to God. And I'd like for us to ask ourselves, is what I am offering to the Lord, the sacrifices and offerings that I am making to God, will that be acceptable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You know, it's a solemn thought when you think about it. Every one of us are offering something. You might say, well, I'm poor. I'm like one of those poor families that Mary and Joseph were. But you know, dear ones, every one of us in here, regardless of our financial condition or our stature in life, have something to offer to the Lord. If you look at the scripture in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in the 13th verse, the apostle Paul said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God on Sunday mornings. Is that what it said? It didn't. Well, Wednesday nights also. That's not what it said either, is it? It said continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Dear ones, I believe every one of us can say, praise the Lord. I believe every one of us can say, thank the Lord for what He's done for me. Because we all have many blessings that God has provided for us. But when you look at this, this is the sacrifice. It says the fruit of our lips. It's something that should be the natural offspring, if you will, of a child of God. Something that because of what's down inside, it's coming up and out. And it's saying, giving praises to God. Now, when the Lord looks upon us, and He looks upon the gifts that we have given to Him, will they be acceptable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You know, I'm sure that every one of us in here have given gifts to someone. And what do you typically do when you give a gift to someone? You give it and you walk out of the room? You don't do it, do you? You usually bring that gift to them and you set it there, or maybe when there's something else, there's others there, and you're sitting back and you're watching. What are you watching? We're watching that reaction, aren't we? Do you know there's something rewarding about seeing that look of surprise when they, and that smile that just lights their face, and they're like, this is, I wasn't expecting this. This is beautiful. This is just exactly what I wanted. And you look at that and you say, they liked it. I had, at Christmas time, the family was all there, and my daughter gave my youngest grandson, as a gift, they gave him a little cap gun. He's 4 or 5. And I'm going to tell you, when he opened that thing up, his eyes lit up, and he would not hardly put it down to open the rest of the gifts. And when he got the rest of the gifts open, you know what he did? He picked that up, and he carried it around with him everywhere he went. And he was constantly showing it to somebody. Papa, see what I got? See this? And it was like, I got a gun. You know, it's a toy gun. And he was just so excited about it. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that challenged me. And I thought, am I as excited about the gift of salvation? Am I as thrilled about the things that God does for me every day as this child was for a cap gun. Something that didn't cost very much at all, but just thrilled him, and he would not hardly lay it down. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you and I can get a revelation of what this plan of salvation is and what God has done for us, it's going to be hard for us to lay it aside. When I see people that sometimes they just say, I've just given up. It's just too hard. I'm going to tell you, it tells me that somehow they did not appreciate as much what God did for them as they should have. Because when you really see it and you really value it, it's hard to set it down. Because it's something that is wonderful. Dear ones, may the Lord challenge our hearts this evening. Because I'm going to tell you, it's very disappointing when you give something to someone and you watch them open it and you go, and they act like they don't care or they don't want it. That's not very rewarding, is it? I wonder sometimes how the Lord feels when he looks at us. When he looks at the gifts that he has bestowed upon us, and the scripture says he daily loadeth us with benefits. Dear ones, I wonder sometimes how the Lord, when he looks down on us and he says, they don't realize how valuable that is. They just don't realize what I've given them. Because I'm going to tell you, when you look at those things, sometimes it's very disappointing when you see that and they're like, I really don't need that. It's okay. My burden this evening, dear ones, is that we spend a little time considering the gifts and the sacrifices that we give to the Lord. And that we ask ourselves this question, are my gifts, my offerings, going to be acceptable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When you look at this, he's worthy, dear ones, of the very best. And I want to ask you, what can you offer to one that has everything? Have you ever thought about that? What can you and I offer to the one that is the creator of the whole universe? That has everything. What can you offer him? The writer over here in Psalms, the 50th chapter, says, Psalms 50 and 12, it says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Does the Lord come knocking on your door and say, I'm hungry? He doesn't do that, does he? Because he has everything. It goes on and it says on up here above this in the 10th verse, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Now you might say, well, those are my cows over there on that hill. Or those are my sheep over there. Do you know what? Those are God's. And it doesn't matter how big of a fence you've got around that field. It doesn't matter how strong of a gate you've got on your pen. If God calls for those cows, they'll come right over that fence, or that gate will just swing open before them and they'll walk out because they're God's. If he calls for them, it doesn't matter who lays claim to them, they're his. And when you look at this, he said, for every beast of the field is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. So I want to ask you again, what do you offer to one that has everything? What can you and I bring to him and offer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that he doesn't already have? Do you know, dear ones, I believe the scriptures give us some guidance on what God expects of you and I and what is acceptable before him. And so I would like this evening to spend a little time considering what is acceptable before the Lord. If you'll turn with me to Leviticus, the 22nd chapter. There's quite a bit of reading here, but I want to lay the foundation for this because I want us to get what God said to Moses and to his people. In Leviticus, the 22nd chapter, and Starting the 17th verse, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, or the beeves, or of the sheep, or the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wound or a scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, thou mayest not offer for a freewill offering. But for a vow, it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut. Neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and the blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you." Here we find God giving instructions to Moses and to the Israelites. And he was giving them counsel regarding their offerings and sacrifices and that they were to make to God. And so he said, first of all, it must be something that is offered willingly. You notice what he said? "Ye shall offer at your own will." Have you ever given something to someone, and when you gave it, or somebody maybe gave it to you, and when they gave it to you, it was very obvious that they really didn't want to do it? They were like, and you could tell they were reluctant in it, but they felt obligated, and so they did it. Or perhaps you had somebody give you something, and then they proceeded to tell you how that, "I really hope you appreciate this, because that cost me a lot of money. That cost a great sacrifice, and I really hope that you appreciate this." Have you ever had that? I see some laughing and nodding. I know you have. It kind of takes away from it, doesn't it? I want you to know something. You know you do not have to give anything to God if you don't want to. He's not going to come down and say, "Brother Philip, I wanted such and such of you, and I didn't get it, and I want it right now." He's not going to do that, is he? Dear ones, we do not have to give anything to God if we don't want to. So if you're reluctant of giving something to God, I just want to settle that now. You don't have to do it. But I also want you to know, if you do want to give something to God, then there are some things that you need to understand if you want it to be acceptable to him. Now, I can almost hear somebody say, "Well, that seems pretty picky." Have you ever heard the saying, "You don't look a gift horse in the mouth"? You should just accept whatever you get, and you shouldn't be picky about it. But dear ones, I want you to remember something. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worthy of the very best that you and I have. And dear ones, he also knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows if you and I are willingly offering it to him, or if we're reluctantly coming to him and bringing it to him. And you know, besides all of that, it's really doing the giver a favor to let them know what you want. Do you feel that way? When you're going to give somebody something, isn't it really a blessing when you know exactly what they want? Because I want to tell you, it's not very rewarding to give somebody something and they really don't want it. Do you know wine is a popular gift in the business world today? But it's not something that I have any use for. I don't want it. I don't accept it. And it has no value for me. But I'm going to tell you, in the business world, it's It's the thing that, I mean, it comes in all the time. And so I do them a disservice by not letting them know, you know, no, I don't drink. I don't want that. Because it doesn't benefit me, and it doesn't benefit them for me to take it and pour it out. It just wasted their money, and it wasted my time. So it's a benefit for the giver if you let them know, this is really what I want. And you see, God was doing the Israelites, and he was doing you and I a favor by letting us know what he wants, what he requires, and what's acceptable to him. There are some things, dear ones, when you look at this, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want? Do you know people at work, sometimes they've asked me, said, well, would you drink some wine if I gave it to you? You know, I'm getting some gifts. No, thank you. I don't have any need for it. They said, well, you probably don't need those wine goblets either. I said, nope, have no use for those either. I appreciate it, though. And I think, you know, but I let them know that. But they ask. Do you know, dear ones, we need to ask God, Lord, what would you have of me? Lord, what do you want of me? Do you know, dear ones, there are a lot of people in our world today that are making many sacrifices, offering many things to God, just like they did it in Moses' time. And so God was doing a favor to Moses, to the Israelites, and to you and I by allowing them to know this is what is acceptable and this is what is not acceptable. And so we need to ask it. And he said here in this 20th verse, he said, but whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable to you. Now, let's think about this for a little bit. This is really not something unreasonable of the Lord, is it? How many of us in here would like to receive gifts that are broken, that are blemished, that are unusable, something that just doesn't work? When you opened your gifts at Christmas time, were you just anticipating getting some broken tools or broken toys? How would you feel if you unwrapped that, you children, and you got the toys and the wheels were broken, the paint was rubbed off, and it didn't work? It would be disappointing, wouldn't it? How would you men like to receive a Christmas gift and you open it up and this big DeWalt box and you think, oh, I got a DeWalt saw. And you open it up and the housing's broken, the blade is worn out, and the motor's burned up. Would you really be thrilled about that? You wouldn't, would you? Or you sisters and you get appliance and it don't even work. It would be disappointing, would it not? So when you look at this, this is the things that we need to consider of what God was telling them was not something unreasonable, was it? What if you, Brother James has told us different times, he said he was in a place and somebody came to him and said, I have something for you. And they went to get it and they said, here, take this, it made me sick. I don't remember if it was a cake or some other kind of food they gave, and they said, take this, it made us sick. Now, how special would that make you feel? Do you know, dear ones, that's what's happening a lot of times with people's sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. It's broken, it's maimed, it's something that is just, it just doesn't work. So what God was saying to the Israelites here was not something that they could not relate to. It was not something that they didn't understand. Well, why would God do that? I think every one of us in here understand that. And so God was just telling them, this is it. And he said, and whatsoever, and whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wean or scurvy or scab. He said, you shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Just don't do it because it's not acceptable. And in the 24th verse, he said, you shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. So we find here some guidelines in the scriptures that God had given to Israel and he's given to us of what is and what is not acceptable unto God. And as you and I consider the things that we've given to God, I'd like to challenge us to look back on those things and ask ourselves, were they bruised? Were they broken? Were they blemished? Are they something that is acceptable unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The first thing that we need to ask is, were they given willingly? Or were they given reluctantly? Is it something that when the Lord came and he said, Curtis, I want you to go across the street and I want you to speak to that neighbor, that he had nearly dragged me across the street? And when I finally got over there and I did it and I come back and I said, Lord, I did it. It was humiliating. And I hope they got something from it, because that was very difficult. Do you think the Lord is going to say, I want you to be blessed in that? He's not going to be pleased with that, is he? He wants it to be something that we willingly offer unto the Lord. When you look at this, I mentioned broken, bruised, distressed, or diseased. Is it something that we gave to the Lord that we really didn't want? That nobody else wanted? So we said, I give this to you. Did we know it was that way when we gave it to him? Do you know sometimes, dear ones, we can give something to someone. We can ship it or we can deliver it. And it gets broken in the process and we don't know it. People look at that differently, don't they? When I got something my wife ordered for my birthday and it came in and the box was broken all open and parts were falling out of it and some were missing, but she didn't know that. It happened in shipment. What I want us to understand is sometimes we may not fully understand that what we are offering to the Lord is broken. We need the Lord to show us. And if you'll turn with me, there's a scripture over here in Psalms, the 19th chapter. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Dear ones, sometimes we may not understand that what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're acting is really flawed. It's broken. It's not exactly what is acceptable before the Lord. And so we need God to reveal that to us. There are some things, dear ones, that we need God to help us to understand. Because I'm going to tell you, you and I, there are things sometimes that we will not understand in our own wisdom of what the enemy is using about us to destroy us unless God has mercy and reveals it to us. By the time that we recognize it, it'll be too late, just like it was Esau. Do you remember Esau? He was just hungry, wasn't he? Have any one of you all been hungry in here? Is there anything wrong with being hungry? There's not, is there? But you know the enemy used that to rob him of something that was very special. Do you know, dear ones, there are things that you may not think anything is wrong with, but the enemy will use that to destroy you if you're not careful. And he'll do the same for me. It is only by the mercies of God that he can come down and reveal to me who Curtis is. And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord. And that preserves me and keeps me from being able to be destroyed or something taken from me that the enemy wants. And so we need the Lord. And this is what he's talking about. The psalmist said, who can understand his errors? Dear ones, we need God to search our hearts, our lives, and help us to understand, Lord, what is it about me? What are the things here? He went on and he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Those things that maybe you may not see about me, I may not see about you. Maybe there's a little bit of a root of pride or bitterness or something else that has sprung up. And you may not see that in my heart and in my life. You may not have seen that. But it causes me to act or react or to do or to say something that is not acceptable to God. And so, dear ones, I need God to reveal that to me. I need him to show me, because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if I don't, God knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so we need him to reveal it. The psalmist said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright. Have you ever heard someone say, make a comment like, well, the Lord's just going to have to accept me as I am because that's the way he made me and I can't change myself. Or perhaps they said, you're just going to have to accept me the way I am because that's the way God made me and I can't change myself. Have you ever heard that? We're talking about presumption. I want to ask us, have we ever considered allowing the Lord to remake us into his image that our offering and our sacrifice can be acceptable to God? Have we considered allowing the Lord to take us through trials and tests and afflictions and places that will mold us and shape us into his image, into his character, so that when the world looks upon us, they're not seeing Curtis, they're seeing Christ? Do you know, it's very presumptuous to just believe that this is just the way I am and God's going to have to accept me this way. Have you ever taken and you've talked to someone and they said, I don't believe the Lord requires that of me. I don't see anything wrong with it. And I just don't believe that he would ever require that of me. Because I don't see anything wrong with it, then God should accept it. You know, I would say no, he probably won't require it of you. He might let you have that for as long as you live. But you know what? I'm afraid that it will cost you dearly. Because our God is looking for a willing sacrifice. He is looking for you and I to willingly offer it to him. To have the perspective that, God, I love you so much. You are worthy of everything that I have. And I love you so much that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to give up anything, regardless of whether it's required, if it will just draw me closer to you, if it will let me have more of your presence in my life, if it will help me or help my brother to hear those words, well done, thou good and acceptable, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you know, dear ones, that's going to bring a smile upon the Lord's face. He's not going to require you to do it. He's not going to make you do it against your will, but he wants us to come to that, to him, with that attitude of, Lord, I love you so much. I really want to please you, and I'm willing to do this for your cause, for your sake, for souls, whatever it takes. Have you ever heard someone make the statement? Perhaps you've said it yourself. I really intend to live for the Lord one of these days. I'm going to make heaven one of these days. Do you know that's presuming on me? But I'm not ready right now. I would like to ask us why. Why not now? Is it because of something that I want or because of something that God wants? I want you to look at a scripture over here in Isaiah, the 49th chapter and the 8th verse. Isaiah 49 and 8, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee." I'm so thankful this evening for the mercies of our God. When I see souls get saved that have been out in sin for many, many years, and right towards the end, the Lord has mercy and gloriously saves them, I just say, thank God. I am so grateful for the mercies of God. But dear ones, I want to ask us, what are we offering to the Lord? Are we offering Him the very best, or are we just giving Him what's left over? The prophet Isaiah said also over here in the 61st chapter in the first verse, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." The writer in another place said, today is the day of salvation. Dear ones, I'm going to say it again. I am very grateful for the mercies of God. But I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to presume upon His mercies, to ignore His dealings, to turn our back on Him when He's calling us. Because I'm going to tell you, our God knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. And that's why it's so dangerous. He knows if we are giving Him the very best that we have, even if it's right down to the end of life. When a soul recognizes their need of God and cries out for mercy and says, "Lord, have mercy upon me. I've wasted my life. I look back and, Lord, I'm so sorry for the way I've lived. And Lord, if you forgive me, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as I'm here." Do you know the Lord looks on that and He knows the heart? But He also knows when someone has just given Him what is left over. When they've got down to the end of life, they've lived for themselves, and then they say, "Well, don't look like I'm going to make it. I need to check the box. And so I'm going to ask the pastor to come and pray with me so I can get saved." I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows the difference in that. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Dear ones, Lord, help us. What are we offering Him to the Lord this evening? Is it acceptable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There's another scripture here in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and the 20th verse. He says, "To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me." Here, they were offering offerings that were not acceptable to God. And he tells us right on down here why. He said, "They are all great grievous revolters, walking with slanderers. They are brass and iron, not gold, not frankincense, not myrrh." It says, "They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain." It doesn't, the things that he's, when he puts it into the fire, it's just in vain. It's not purging the dross off. It's not making them a new creature. It's just the same old thing that's coming out. He says, "The lead is consumed with fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." The sacrifices and the offerings that they were making were marred. They were bruised. They were broken. They were diseased. But you know what they were doing? They were still offering to God. They still came and they still brought them to God, but to no avail, because God was not accepting their offerings. And dear ones, that's the burden of my heart this evening, is that you and I examine our offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. That you and I spend some time this evening and asking the Lord, "Lord, look back over my life. Those things that you told me that you wanted, did I give those to you? Or did I give you a bunch of things that you really didn't want?" Do you know, dear ones, there are
I'll say it again, many, many people in our world today who are making sacrifices, great sacrifices. They're offering many offerings. But I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid that they're not acceptable unto the Lord because they're not balanced with the Word of God. And dear ones, God is not interested in any gifts that are not balanced to the Word of God. He's not interested in any gifts that serve no purpose, that make no change in a person's life, that are just dead offerings that someone brings up and says, I'm going to give this to God and I feel good about it and I go home. But it makes no change in their life. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is not interested in anything like that. Because He wants you and I to present something to Him that is alive, that is pure, that is holy, that is something that can be a blessing to others around us. That's what God wants of us. He doesn't want something that has no purpose at all. It's just like that wine that I mentioned. It has no value to me. And when I go pour it out, it has no value to the person that gave it. They just wasted it. And I'm afraid, dear ones, that there are many in our world today that are offering sacrifices, that are lifting their hands in praise to God, but their lives are not changed. And they're going out living in sin, and they're going out acting and doing things that are not acceptable to God. And they're wondering why God is not answering our prayers, and why I'm not getting the response from our Heavenly Father that I want. And it's because they've offered something that God said is not acceptable. Dear ones, I hope you get the burden of my heart this evening. It would be a terrible thing to go through life making sacrifices and offerings only to come up to the end of time and find out they're not acceptable to God and they're just poured out. They're of no value whatsoever. Dear ones, this is why I believe the Lord has laid the burden on my heart tonight, is that you and I would take just a little time and ask ourselves the question, am what I offering to the Lord, the sacrifice that I'm making, is it acceptable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you know the Apostle Paul over there in Romans, and I won't, the time's getting away. In Romans, the 12th chapter, he said, now I'm going to try to quote it, and I can't do it. I beseech you, thank you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. Something that can be a blessing to others. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, down there farther, maybe in the 14th verse, he said, he that doeth these things is acceptable unto God. Dear ones, when you and I live a life that is pure and holy, when we present our bodies to God and let Him purge us from all the dross of sin, and we are a vessel that He can use, that is acceptable unto God. That's what He's looking for, and that's my burden this evening. Dear ones, I want to make heaven. I want that the things that I offer to God, that I sacrifice. Do you know, I'm persuaded there's some people that have made some great sacrifices that cost them a lot. Do you know there are people that have given their lives for a cause? But dear ones, if it's not for the cause of God, if it's not acceptable, if it's not balanced by the Word of God, do you know they just wasted it? Do you know, dear ones, there are a lot of people who are attempting to live a Christian life in their own wisdom, by their own designs, and they're making many sacrifices, but if it's not balanced to the Word of God, do you know it has no effect, and God is not accepting it? Dear ones, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and profitable servant. And I want you to hear those too. And so I believe the Lord is talking to us this evening. Dear ones, He does not want us to do like many are doing at this time of year. Do you know there's many people that's giving gifts so they can check the box?
Have you heard people say, I don't know if they want it or not, but I've done my deal. Check, that one's been given. It happens a lot. There's a lot of religions today that are serving the Lord in their own strength, in their own wisdom, and according to their own designs. But I'm afraid it's not profitable unto the Lord. May the Lord help us as His people that we ask the Lord. We don't just go through a form. We don't just come to service and we go home not changed, but that we allow the Lord to examine our hearts, our sacrifices and our offerings, and ask Him, Lord, what do You want of me? Is what I'm doing acceptable unto You? I desire Your prayers.